Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Happy Thursday to you, or rather, happy Friday Eve. I know that's the Wednesday music, but we had a best of show yesterday, and I was not going to cheat you out of it. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We are broadcasting live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Cigars with the Cave Show. You know how we roll. What's on the docket today? Oh my goodness, people made the mistake of insulting LeBron. We'll address. Kyrie dropped a 50-burger. Was it enough? Suns win decisively. Decisively. And the Nets are making me eat my words. Ash. That and other things we're going to get into. Special guest today at 10 minutes after the hour, the one, the only, she'll be joining us. We got our pro football rankings coming up later on in the show. We'll do all that before this show is over right here at on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in here. Let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Make it down here before we stop taping today live. You can get 15% off of your cigar. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. I can't speak today. One day away and I can't speak. There are numerous televisions in here. Check them out. They do have NFL League Pass. Watch all your NBA games. Watch the rest of the World Series. Watch it all. College football, this place is packed on Saturdays. They serve beer and wine. You have no excuse. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Welcome to Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We are stacked. A lot of stuff. I'm going to open the phone lines up now. See, callers are waiting. Number is 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. And just so you know, the smoke of the day is a JFR. So definitely get down here to Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Caller, thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, it's Lou.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
What happened in that game last night? It was 2-2 in the seventh, and all of a sudden the Nationals just exploded.
Yeah, like
what
I said
in
the opening.
What was that?
The Nets are out Astroing the Astros. It is fun to watch. This is a fun World Series. And I think this is a fun World Series because we have pitching, we have hitting, we have long ball, we have small ball, we have two teams that keep the ball in play. I am thoroughly enjoying this World Series.
Well, I guess speaking from a national standpoint, but from an Astros standpoint, oh boy, it's going to be murder.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like I said, the one good thing is, so they have the home run to break the tie at 3-2. But then it was all just pressure. Nats putting the ball in play. A lot of those runs came with two outs. I love that brand of baseball. I don't like the guy get on, now let's wait for a home run. I love this brand of baseball. It is fun to watch.
Well, I guess if you're an Astros fan, yeah, but, you know, going from, you know, 2-2 to that onslaught, I mean, is there something wrong with the Astros pitching?
I don't think so. I think right now they're just getting hit. I mean, and I don't have a dog in this race. I'm a White Sox fan, and I cover the D-backs. So I don't have a dog in this race. I just think it's good baseball. I mean, the Nationals are doing what they're supposed to do. They did the one thing that I said every team should do. If you want to beat the Astros, yeah, you may get to Verlander. Yeah, you may get to Peacock. Yeah, you may get to Greinke. But if you beat that big dog first, If you take the head off that snake and you get the big dog first, your confidence then goes through the roof. And that's exactly what they did. They got to the big dog. And I think that plays a lot with it. And looking at a team that came off, I mean, they're hot. They swept the Cardinals. They had to win a game to get in. And now they've won two more. This team is hot. You know baseball. You get hot, you get confident, you start hitting, and that's what they're doing. Now, here's the key. You got the head off the snake. You got the next big guy. Can you go there when all the pressure now is on you because you don't want to go back to Houston? Can you win? Can you close this out at home?
Well, Joe Schmuck, I mean, Bug is making an interesting point last night. He says, well, I remember what happened back in 96 when the Yankees were playing the Braves. The Braves were beating the crap out of them the first two games, and the Yankees came back and won the last four.
Last three. They were
down
3-1.
They won four straight.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, because they were down 2-0, and they came back and just put it on them.
Right. So could be deja vu all over again, or do you think the Nats have this wrapped up?
I don't think anybody has anything wrapped up when you're playing the Astros.
Thank you.
Because they're that good. If Greinke gets this next one, it's then say they get team, then they get to 2-2. That means you got to face Cole again. That means you got to face Verlander again. So no, it's far from over. But I think here's what I say: they've got to go up 3-0. You got to. You don't want to go 2-1 because 2-1 means Houston's out saying, oh, we just get one more here. We're going back to Houston no matter what. You've got to go up 3-0 because only one team in the history of baseball has ever come back from 3-0. So you got to get up 3-0.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to hurt any feelings today. I'm not going to mention it was the Yankees. I'm not going to mention it was the Red Sox that did it to them. I'm not going to mention the Bloody Sox. I won't mention any of that. How was that?
Okay, now I got one more question referring to a comment made by Aaron Judge. Now, Judge seemed to be a little bit distraught, I think, at the press conference and saying that, well, we had our year was a total failure. I'm like, what? How could that be a total failure? 106, 103 wins, first division title in 7 years. You went to 6 games in the ALCS, and you call it a failure? I'm like, what?
Yes, I agree with him. I do.
You agree with them?
I agree with them.
That's
yes,
not a failure. 100%.
It is. And here's why. Long time ago, the Los Angeles Lakers won a Western Conference Finals. And the players were celebrating. And Magic Johnson pulled a couple players aside and said, we don't celebrate conference championships. We celebrate NBA championships. Only. That's it. We have one goal. If you are the Nationals and you started 19-31, and say something happens and the Astros end up winning the World Series, you had a good year. If a team like the Twins, they got to the playoffs, they won their division, they won a lot of games, they had a good year. For the Astros, for the Yankees, for the Dodgers, for the Red Sox when they're in it, if they don't win the whole thing, it's not a good year. There is no consolation prize for them because the expectation is to win it all. That's the good year.
Let me guess. World Series or bust, right?
World Series or bust. You're damn right. You're damn right. I agree with them 100%. For example, the New England Patriots. If the New England Patriots go 15-1, get to the playoffs, lose in the Super Bowl, you think Tom Brady's going to say, oh, but we had a great year? No. Either you win it or you don't.
Isn't that being underestimating yourself?
No. No, there are certain teams, the expectation is to win it all. That is the only goal. If you don't win it all, the season's a bust.
Well, look, 29 teams don't win a championship, and, you know, I mean, let's look at it this way. Here's what I look at as a failure, okay? The Red Sox this year, they failed. Nobody expected them to crash and burn. The Marlins are a joke to begin with. They failed, okay? Philly, yeah, I guess you can say failed because they were spending so much they only got mediocrity. The White Sox failed, no offense. You know, the Royals, of course. the Tigers.
But there were no
that's a failure.
But there were no expectations on those teams. When the season started, did you expect the White Sox to win the World Series?
Hell no.
Did you expect the Marlins?
No, of course not.
The Royals, the A's,
no.
None of them were expected to win. When the season started, there were four teams expected to win the World Series. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Astros. Those were the four teams expected to win. If you have those expectations, and as a team, you have that expectation, and you fall short, your season sucks.
I don't see the Dodgers thing about that. I mean, the one that really was a fail was the Red Sox. They were the biggest failure of all. You know, winning the World Series this year, and this year didn't even make the playoffs, didn't even get to 500. That's a failure.
I agree. But I do. I'm sorry, Lou. I agree with Aaron Judge 100%. Now,
I don't believe it.
If you want to be a Mets fan and
no.
say, you know, they made a nice run, they did some good things, we ended up being a better year than they thought, pretty good year. But if I'm a Yankees fan, if we don't win at all, I don't want to hear that, but you had some good wins. I don't care that I beat up on the Royals. I don't care that I beat up on the Twins in the regular season. I have one goal, get to that World Series and win it.
Well, let's just say I agree and disagree.
And you know what? Don't you want guys like that? Don't you want guys like that on your team that's saying, if we don't win at all, what the hell are we playing for?
No, because you know, you play hard all year and you come up short. Look, a lot of people feel like, you know, when they lose, like, well, we bombed out. But that's not how it should be. You got there. You should be commended for what you did. You had a great season. Okay, you came up a little short. So what? So did 29 other teams. Look, you did the best you could. And you should be commended for that. If anybody else thinks I'm crazy, okay, fine. But that's the way I feel. You did not have a sucky season.
I agree with. You did not have a sucky season.
Yeah.
But your season was a failure.
Well... Well, I think I'm going to bring up my show Saturday night. So, you know, listen in. Maybe some of you agree with me. I hope. I'm going to be in for it now.
Yeah, you are. You just opened up the floodgates for that.
If I'm guilty of that, I'm guilty. Well, we'll talk more tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Have a good rest of your Thursday.
Thanks.
All right. Good friend, Lou. I'm going to get into that a little bit, but the one, only Mia Chambers, and she's coming on the Carrie Lackey line. Exactly.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Carrie Lackey Law Line right now, host of Gameplay, one, the only Mia Chambers. Chambers, what's shaking with you today?
Man, what's going on? I'm here making it through another day. Can't complain.
Wow, did someone put mustard in your oatmeal this morning? You sound a little down. You okay? You need a hug?
No, I'm good. No, I'm great. Having a good day.
So I was just talking to one of our callers, Lou, good friend of the program, called in, and we had a fundamental disagreement. I'm going to see what he said, and I want your thoughts. So what he said was Aaron Judge for the Yankees said this season was a bust. They didn't win the World Series. The season was a bust, basically. I'm summing up what he said. And he said he disagrees. If you win 100-and-something games, you get that far. The season wasn't suck. It wasn't, you know, 29 teams lose, only one team wins. If you had that type of year, it's not a bust. What I said was, if you're the Mets, if you're the Nationals, and the Nationals end up losing the World Series, at 19-31, there were no expectations. No one even thought they should get there. A lot of teams, the Diamondbacks, the season wasn't a bust. They won more games than people thought. But in baseball, if you're the Yankees, if you're the Dodgers, if you're the Red Sox, if you're the Astros, and you don't win at all, your season did suck. In football, with the Patriots, they don't want to hear how great their season was if they didn't
exactly.
win a Super Bowl. If your expectations say that you should win, and those are the expectations that you have of yourself, having a decent regular season, beating up on the Jets when their quarterback is seeing ghosts, there's no win in that if at the end of the year you're watching the Super Bowl like a whole bunch of other people.
Right. No one cares what you do in the regular season. First of all, yeah, it's great to have all these wins, but it doesn't matter because if you get to the Super Bowl and you lose, then your season was a waste. You did all of this for nothing. So the ultimate goal is the championship, and anybody who doesn't make it has to look at this season as a bust. It's not like there's no moral wins here. You're playing for one thing and one thing only, and that's to get a ring. And if you're not playing for that, then you're way behind the mark anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I say, especially about teams that are expected. Now, take the Indianapolis Colts. They would love to win a Super Bowl, but when Luck retired, no one picked them to win a Super Bowl. People said,
right.
They win 8 or 9 games. If they go to the playoffs, make a good run, for them, they had a good season because there were no expectations. But if the Rams don't get back to the playoffs and they don't get to the Super Bowl and they don't win it, it was a lousy year. If Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, they don't win the World Series, you had a sucky year.
Right.
If the Bears with that defense don't win a Super Bowl with that bum of a quarterback, that's a sucky year. So I think it depends on the expectations that you have for your team going into the season.
Right, but your expectation should be every year to win a Super Bowl. You should never go into – I know that Miami, obviously, they have no intentions of winning anything. But my thing is they shouldn't – at the beginning of the season, I'm sure that they their mindset was not like we're going to lose every game. You know what
yeah,
I'm
it
saying?
Was. Yeah, it was. No, yeah, it was. Bad example. Yeah, their expectation was to lose every game. The owner, the GM, the president of football, yeah, their expectation was to lose. Once they started training everyone that knew how to play football away, their expectation was to lose every game. Every last
well,
one.
Well, you shouldn't go into the games like, thinking that way is more what I'm saying. You know, everybody's intentions at the beginning of the season should be the Super Bowl. You know, that should be it.
Yep. No, I just.
Or,
I just,
the championship.
I want a guy on my team. If I'm a Yankee, or if I'm a Patriot, or if I'm a Laker, or if I'm a Warriors, I want my expectation to be to win it all. If I'm a sucky team, and I'm a team that never made, let's say if I'm the Atlanta Hawks, let's be real, we're not going to win a title. Should we want to? Of course. But if the Atlanta Hawks crack the playoffs and go deep in a series for them, that's a good year for them. Because you don't just – the NBA isn't like other sports. It isn't you just come up once and win. You build to that. And it's just different. I don't know. He's going to talk about it. I know he has a show. He'll talk about that too. A couple things I do want to get into real quick in terms of football. And I said it in that introduction. Do you think the Jets and the NFL did Sam Darnold wrong for playing that icy ghost? Do you think they did him wrong for that?
Wait, repeat what you said?
So during the game when the Patriots were beating the crap out of the Jets, Sam mm-hmm. Darnold said, I'm seeing ghosts out there. And the NFL got it. He was mic'd up. They ran with it. And a lot of folks are saying, hey, look, that's a rookie. You mic'd up your rookie. Or not a rookie, a second-year guy, your young quarterback. You mic'd him up when he was playing the best defense in the league. He says he's seeing ghosts, and you okayed that crap to come out. Do you think that was fair to Sam Darnold?
Well, I don't think it was unfair. I feel like, if you know that you're mic'd up, you know, don't say nothing that you don't want to be aired. And you're a football player. I mean, he's being honest. He was seeing ghosts. I don't know who he was seeing, you know. He's throwing the ball all over the place. Now, if he's telling you that as a coaching staff, you need to make adjustments in order to get him out of the game, but they continue to let him be in there and turn it into a worse disaster. I don't think they were wrong for talking about it because that's what commentators do. That's what they're going to do. They're going to, try to pick up whatever they can. But you know, he's mic'd up. He's a quarterback. He should know that. You know, anything he says is open, you know, to be pulled.
See, I think that the Jets are responsible. I don't think anyone is wrong for airing it, because you want clicks, you want looks, you want listens, you want things to talk about. I think the Jets ill prepared him. One, have you ever seen an Aaron Rodgers mic'd up? What do you hear? All right, guys, let's go. Hey, good catch. Hey, woo! Yeah, Tom Brady. Woo! Let's get him out there. They say nothing.
They
are generic.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Is like, you know, he's got to learn that, you know, and now he will, obviously, you know. But he knew he was mic'd up. You know, the Jets knew he was mic'd up. So, you know, they did not prepare him. They didn't prepare him for the game, let alone prepare him for being mic'd up, you know.
No, I agree with you. I 100% agree, and I think that's poor. That's peeing on yourself and then getting mad because someone saw you do it.
Right,
and you
exactly.
can't do that, you know. And I agree with you on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Mia Chambers. There's
here.
A lot of messes. There's a lot of messes in the NFL right now, and I mean a lot of messes. And when I look around the NFL, there's a lot of things that I see with coaches that I think it's just about time for them to let go. We know Jake Gruden was the first one to go. And honestly, I think there's some other guys that need to be gone, some in their GM role, some in their coach's role. But when I look at certain teams, I start to really scratch my head and think, what are they really, really doing? When I look at the Atlanta Falcons and Dan Quinn, how do you have those receivers, that quarterback, that running back, and you can't score, and you're one of the worst teams in the NFL? How is that possible?
It shouldn't be possible, but
I think it's his time. I do. I think it's time he got his walking papers. I'm just being honest.
But who's going to make the first step?
I think it's time the Falcons fire their coach. Look, in any other profession, I would never want anyone to get fired because they have mouths to feed, they got bills to pay. I completely understand that. I don't want anyone to miss a meal. Dan Quinn is a guaranteed contract. He's going to get his money. But that team is god-awful. And they can't stop anybody. They can't. You would think with that offense, what happened to Dalvin Cook? 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, all we heard was, oh, man, this kid is up and coming. He's going to be great. Where's Dalvin Cook? He's on a milk carton.
Yeah.
And one thing I must say to you, though, Chambers, and I really do believe this, and I know we talked about this last week, and we talked about how good the defense is and that Tom Brady doesn't have to carry the team anymore. But in watching that game, even that blowout game, I really believe if their defense wasn't that good and he had to make some plays, I really watched that game. He really is losing something off the fastball. And by that I mean – he's missing passes he just did not miss before. And I think this year that defense is really complimenting him and helping him in a division that's got awful.
I agree with you on that. But you also have to know that the only receiver that has been stable there is Julian Edelman. And, yeah, Edelman might have missed a few passes, but the passes that he missed, he dropped those passes. You got to think that the players that he's missing are players that he's not used to playing with. So you got to give him a little bit of credit. I mean, Dorsett, yeah, but Dorsett is in and out of injury. He doesn't really have anybody besides Julian Edelman that, you know, it has been a constant receiver for him. So you have to also take that into consideration. Just like the receivers are learning the playbook, he's learning how their timing is. And that takes time. You know, he is the best, you know, he's trying the best. But I think, like, you got to really get him some receivers for more than a year, and then you can say that.
Yeah, but Tom Brady used to throw to, like, me and you and make us look good. And I'm looking at who they beat. And I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying that. But when you beat the Steelers, who are bad, 33-3, you beat the Dolphins, who are historically bad, 43-0. You beat the Jets, 30-14. You beat the Redskins, 33-7. You beat the Giants, 35-14. You beat the Jets again, 33-0. And the only game that you played that actually had some talent were the Bills, and yeah, you won, but that's 16-10, and Tom didn't look that good in that game. So I'm not saying he's done. What I'm saying, though, is I think it's just a real good thing he has a really good defense, because those passes just aren't hitting like they used to.
I agree, like, that he's definitely not his younger self, but he's definitely still one of the best, whether he's old or young.
And I'm looking at the schedule. They should beat the Browns. That game next week, next Sunday night, against the Ravens in Baltimore, I think will tell a lot. I really do. And the game in December against the Chiefs and the Texans, I think that tells a lot. Because their regular schedule, unlike college football, you don't have a choice. You play who you play.
Right.
But they've only really got three good teams on their schedule this year.
Right, and I get it,
not their fault.
Right, but not our fault. We don't pick the schedule. But after we beat these teams, then everybody would just be quiet, right? If we beat these teams, then everybody's just going to be quiet then, right?
All right, let's do these power rankings. Knock this out. This is usually on Wednesday. At number 10, I have down four slots. Seattle coming in at number 10. They were six, obviously, the week before. I like Seattle. I love Seattle. I love what Russ is doing. That was a bad loss last week.
Yeah, definitely was.
The Colts coming in, not rated the week before. They're coming in at number 9. Jacoby Brissett is balling.
I'm glad to see them in the top 10.
Yeah, they're just balling. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He has that team playing. They are 4-2, top of their division. Beat the Texans. Again, the Texans always lose to the Colts. But when Andrew Luck retired, they said, this team, they're probably good for 8 victories, 9 victories. They look like they're going to be a little bit better with Jacoby Brissett at the helm. They hit you in the mouth and they run the ball. At number 8, up 2 spots from last week, I have the Panthers. I know they didn't play, but look, that team is balling. Their question, and I'm going to ask you, when Cam is healthy, does Cam play?
I don't know. Depends on how they're doing when that time comes.
Well, without Cam, they won 4 in a row. Cam is a quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Has lost his last 9 in a row.
If they're continuing to win, they're going to leave it as is.
So you would tell your franchise quarterback, sit your ass down.
Well, yeah, if we're winning.
At number 7, up 2 spots from last week, the Minnesota Vikings. It seems like since Adam Thielen came out and talked about his coach and his quarterback, he directed it at his quarterback and his coach without saying any names. All of a sudden, the Vikings have got hot. They've won 3 in a row. They're throwing the ball well. They're running the ball well. They're playing good football right now. KC, up 2 spots. To number 6, they're just KC. And what the hell? Do you let your quarterback play this week if you're the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, absolutely not.
No. It's a crap division. You're going to win that division no matter what. The division sucks. I say sit him, let Matt Moore go at this one. Don't rush it. Don't risk it.
Don't risk it, yeah.
No. The Broncos suck. They have the worst quarterback in the NFL. The Raiders, they're now playing practice, guys. And the Chargers are doing what the Chargers do. Now they're 2-5. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to lose one more, and then they're going to go on like a 6-game winning streak. And then when the playoffs start, people are going to say, oh, man, woo, glad we didn't get the Chargers in the playoffs. That's what the Chargers do every year. At number 5, up a spot, Buffalo. They just keep winning. Everyone keeps saying, oh, well, look at them. They do this. They're not this. They're not that. They're not this. They hit you in the mouth. They play good defense, and they're winning football. What else can they do?
I'm not mad.
Number 4. New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees
like
is scheduled to come back this week. I say no. I say let Teddy Bridgewater play one more game. You then get a bye week, and then he comes back. Why rush him back this week?
Exactly.
Let him get,
especially if they're winning.
Exactly. By sitting him one more game, you're actually getting three more weeks. So I say sit him. You're on top of that division. I'm with you. Number three, we have the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is just balling. There's no other rhyme or reason. Number two, San Francisco. A lot like Buffalo. They're still at number two. People keep saying, well, they haven't played anybody. They haven't done this. They haven't done that. Everybody you put in front of them, they beat.
This weekend against Carolina will tell a lot.
It will tell a lot. They have given up 64 points. Only one team is better than that defensively in points given up in the league, and that's the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
So you could talk all you want. I heard a lot of Rams fans talk a lot of stuff. They beat the Rams, and these Rams fans, Rams announcer, LA announcer still saying, well, they're really not as good as you think. Okay, well, I don't know what they have to do. They beat you. So that's I don't know what else they have to do. They beat you.
Exactly.
And then the number one team with the best defense in football got other quarterbacks seeing goals. I have the New England Patriots.
Can't argue there. Can't argue there.
No, we do picks, obviously, on Fridays, but there is a game tonight. Thursday Night Football, Washington goes to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's like about a 13, 12-point favorite. Washington, they're just dogs. There's no getting around it. Their one win is against Miami. Hootie, obviously, I know you're going to go with Minnesota tonight.
Yeah,
can
definitely Can
they cover 13? Can they cover 13 points?
Well, I think it's actually like 16, but yeah, I'm picking it to cover.
Wow, it went up that much, huh?
Yep.
All righty. Well, tomorrow we got
picks. All righty. That's it. I'll be on tomorrow to make my regular week's pick.
Tell everyone where they check you out at.
You guys can find me on Instagram at official_Mimi_C. You guys know my show will air on Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys can catch me guest starring on the Cave Show, usually on Wednesday through Friday.
Alrighty, we'll catch up. Oh, and you're
off
the hook.
All right, Paul, I'll catch up with you soon.
Oh, and you're off the hook. There was no power last week.
Oh, right. I got you.
So you're off. You're clear.
Yeah. I got
right.
you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, later.
One, the only Mia Chambers. Take a quick break. We're going to talk some basketball, and then we're going to clean this bad boy up.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So one more thing on NFL before we jump. I've never seen so many bad teams. I never have. And I don't mean not good teams. I mean just bad teams. But switching over to the NBA is in full swing. Full swing. Kyrie Irving dropped a 50-burger last night. But he missed the shot at the end. Nets lost their home opener to the Timberwolves. A lot of entertaining basketball. Bulls and the Hornets went at it last night. P.J. Washington, 7 threes to start the season as a rookie. Incredible output. If you're not watching basketball, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. So here's my issue. You know, I have an issue every day with somebody. So here's my issue today. So Vice President Mike Pence decided he sound off on the NBA and sound off on China with the way the NBA handled China and handled this. So I'm going to go ahead and say this. When athletes talk politics, they're told to shut up and play. What do you know about politics? Stay out of it. So now I'm going to say the same thing. Politicians, stay out of the NBA's business. It's real easy to say, well, you stand up against this, you stand up against this, so why aren't you standing up against that? It's easy for a politician to stand back and take that approach. But there are times you can look at a politician and say, well, you fight for this, you fight for that, so why aren't you fighting for this? And I'm not going to turn this into this whole political thing, but I find it funny that when politicians want to attack out, they feel free, they do it. But when you attack them or tell them something, they tell you, stay in your lane and stick to sports. I'm just saying. There are politicians that still have businesses, and they still do business with China. I don't want to say any names, but they still have stuff made in China. So if you're going to attack the NBA, why don't you attack the other politicians, without me saying any names, that are still have things they have, things they own, properties they build, with tags that say made in China. So yesterday, Steven Jackson said something about LeBron. He said, basically, LeBron's not the same dog that a Kobe Bryant is. Not the same. And that's been a knock on him a little bit. And I hear other people get on him for that. Oh, well, he only said it because the mic was in front of him. Oh, he only did this because of this. People, that's been said for the last 17 years. It doesn't mean LeBron is not one of the greatest to ever play the game. It doesn't mean that. But once again, you can't say anything about him without people getting their panties in a bunch. I just don't get it. I really don't. It's like you're hands off. If you criticize anything, oh, how dare you criticize? You know what else he did? It has nothing to do with that. This Lakers team is going to be a very good team. I hear people whining that he's playing point guard and he's going to use too much energy playing point guard. You are in a misnomer. You are in a cloud if you think the Lakers are going to be a get-up-and-go team. LeBron's in his 17th year. They're not flying up the court. They're going to be opportunistic when it comes to fast breaks. It's not going to be let's play fast. And even though Anthony Davis is young and he may be able to go fast and get up and down the court, this team is not going to be a get up and down the court and gallop all day long. LeBron James can't. He can't do that night in and night out, 17 years in the league. No one can do that night in and night out, 17 years in the league. Your body won't let you. They're going to be more methodical. The problem that they ran into the other night is they're playing a team that played great, or plays rather, great half-court defense. So they're going to expose you. They're going to tire you out. You're going to be tuckered when you're done playing the Clippers. The Lakers will impose their will on a lot of teams. You don't have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, two of the top 10 players in the NBA, and think that you're going to play them and it's going to be a cakewalk. Because it's not. But there are going to be nights if they take their lumps. See, the difference is, the Clippers played without Paul George. So let's say there's a game they play without Kawhi and Paul George is back. You're still getting a playoff team with Paul George, playoff team with Kawhi. Times aren't easier in LA for LeBron. Times are just as hard or harder because if he's not on the court, they're going to struggle. the team in New Orleans, as constructed, with AD, if he was still there, would be just as good as the Lakers are with AD on the court and LeBron off on a night-in, night-out basis. I'm not afraid of JaVale McGee. No one's afraid of Dwight Howard. No one's afraid of Rajon Rondo anymore. No one is cowering in fear to this roster outside of LeBron and AD. And why should you? Kyle Kuzma's a nice player, but he's out. No one is cowering to Avery Bradley. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can't hit a shot. DeMarcus Cousins is out. Quinn Cook moved on from the Warriors. Troy Daniels can shoot, but no one's fearing him. Danny Green had a great game. A great game. But he didn't have one of those, oh, wow, we're going to have to plan for him. It's not like that. Listen, I do want to get into the Suns, but before I do, like I said, we are broadcasting live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco today. One of my favorite places. It is Thursday. It is Cigars with the Game Show. And I bet you there's something fun happening here soon. So the only person that can tell us all this, not me at all, even though I am spoken to JFR, is the one, the only Gabby. Gabby, thank you. Everyone, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We always love having you down here.
Thank you.
So our next big event is going to be November 18th. That's actually a Monday from 4 to 7 p.m. We are going to be having our annual Perdomo event. And this year we'll actually be joined by Nick Perdomo, the CEO.
That himself.
Yes. Absolute fantastic guy, a legend in the industry. Also Monday Night Football, so you'll have the Monday Night Football going on, the cigar event, and Nick Perdomo.
That's a win-win.
Exactly.
And they come down, and I'm sure they're going to be Perdomo's out for sale. And
oh, yes,
yeah,
there'll be
stuff.
A lot of specials and amazing deals going on, and individual six, and box price, and box deals, and raffle items, and a bunch of swag. And if you want something signed by the legend Nick Perdomo, he'll be doing that as well, and he's just absolutely a super nice guy, too.
Good deal. Sounds like this happened. When is that again?
November 18th. Oh, it's a Monday.
Okay.
So Monday Night Football, and that's the 4 to 7 p.m.
So you can still get home and tuck the kids in.
Exactly.
Cool. And then lockers?
Lockers are, we have a few lockers left. It's for the year membership. It's $300. You get a $100 gift card back to spend in the store. And for the year, you get 10% off of every purchase. And for all of our events, let's say it's a Perdomo one, you buy a box, you get 15% off of the regular price, and you get all the swag. So for locker members, it would be 20%. We always like to give a little something extra for the people who support us throughout the year.
There you go. That's a win-win. So get down here. I'm going to tell you all the time. I'm going to tell you one more time. Marty's my man. Baby is my man. Ron, the owner, that's my frat brother. That's my man. But you don't want to look at them. Get down here when Gabby's here. That way you enjoy your smoke, and you get to speak with someone who's very knowledgeable about what's going on in this place. And I know one day Marty's going to kill me because I say that all the time. Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure.
All right, cool. Let's pay a bill, and we'll get back to it, and we'll wrap it up with the Phoenix Suns.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
So let's just get to it when it comes to the Suns. Suns put a whooping. A flat-out whooping on the Kings to start the season last night. Very impressive win. That's the way you come out of the gate. First half, Suns played well. Kings played well. They both kind of felt each other out. But the second half, it was no joke. It was on. I mean, it was completely on. Suns put up 70 second half points, while at the same time holding the Kings to 36. Yes, that's what I said. I did not stutter. Incredible game. A lot of guys played well for the Suns. Kelly Oubre Jr. played well. And I know a lot of people, you analytical nerds, I love your plus and minuses, so let me give you some. Dario Saric, plus 12. Kelly Oubre, plus 19. DeAndre Ayton, plus 25. Ricky Rubio, plus 15. Devin Booker, plus 25. Devin Booker not only scored 22 points, but had 10 assists. And his life just looks so much easier playing with Ricky Rubio. And even though Rubio didn't shoot the ball very well, he had a good impact on the game. Good impact on the game. Suns got help from the bench. To me, whenever you can put up a certain amount of points from your bench, it is very good. And if you're putting up 40 or more points from your bench, you're doing very well. And they put up 45 points on their bench. Mind you, the Kings only scored 36 points in the second half. And just in contrast, the Kings put up only 30 bench points. So the Suns bench really outplayed them. Really outplayed them. You could tell there was some flow to this game. The Suns were doing a lot of things that they weren't doing before. Stayed interested, stayed active. It was good to see some of the people. And kind of how the minutes broke down, you kind of see where the Suns are looking to go. You saw Kaminsky with good minutes. Mikal Bridges with good minutes. Javon Carter, Tyler Johnson got good minutes. And Aaron Baines got enough to spell DeAndre Ayton between him and Frank Kaminsky. So good playing by the Suns. It was nice to see their young guys, like Diallo, Okobu, Harper. And I know not good for them because they're all, when you're only playing 2 minutes. But they're not having to play them. Now, I hope this continues for the Suns. We'll see, because their schedule is not going to get easier. This is probably the friendliest game they had to start the season against the Kings, because after this game, it all changes. They're at Denver, home to the Clippers, home to Utah, at Golden State, and then Memphis, but then home to Philly, home to Miami, home to Brooklyn, home to the Lakers, home to the Hawks, home to Boston. So they're coming out the gate playing some tough teams. But it's a good showing, and I hope you guys are going to come out and support this team. They're going to be competitive.
Hey, this is Javon Carter with the Phoenix Suns, and I am in the cave with PLR.
That's about going to wrap it up for us today from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, where we are every Thursday for Cigars with the Cave Show. Thanks, Mia Chambers, for calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Caller, thank you for calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line as well. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and you can get us at thesportscave.com online. Again, Cave is with a K. Make sure that you're following me directly as well at PLR on Sport. A lot of good stuff coming. Busy weekend. We will get a lot of stuff previewed for you tomorrow. And I look forward to you joining us. Don't forget, we do picks, NFL picks tomorrow. So until then, this has been PLR. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Everyone, have a great Friday Eve. We'll talk tomorrow.